Welcome to the Primal Priestess Podcast. Today we have Mariana, who is an ex-nutritionist turned embodied alchemist. She is also a mother, mystic, and an inner mastery grad. We begin by talking on her timeline jump from victimhood as a postpartum mother with no money living in her parents' home to manifesting her actual dream home, dream career, and dream life in Bali. We chat briefly on what it feels like to cleanly invest into containers for growth versus obsessive coach and course hopping. And then we move into her spiritual awakening, which occurred after a PCOS diagnosis, and how she opted to heal herself through nutrition, traditional Chinese medicine, and energy activation. Shortly after that, she began working as a nutritionist, but it felt stale. Utilizing plant medicine and energy healing, she shifted from overworking and forcing as her business model into a more intuitive, creative flow. During inner mastery, she began to channel her business as the divine entity it is, and she tapped into the frequency of her branding. Now her content and her work is medicinal art for everyone it touches. We're going to chat on all of this and more. Enjoy the episode. Welcome, Mariana. So excited to have you here today to hear about, as you were just saying, all of these transitions that have been happening the past 2 months for you, your traveling, your journey, your offerings. Do you want to give us a little introduction before we get started?
Yeah, I'm Mariana. I have become a mama 1 year and 4 months ago. And yeah, my life has been a bit of a journey of uprooting and finding where home is, kind of in the world and also within myself. And yeah, that brought me back to Bali, which is where I'm at in the moment. And actually, I really want to share something around that, which is a few months ago, I was in this kind of a mastermind and I noticed that I was feeling guilt and almost this kind of shame around wanting to be back to Bali. And it was around how people would perceive me, if people would think that I was trying to escape the real life of the West and just go back to the magical island of Bali. And then I was in this mastermind and there were all these women who their actual desire was to be in Portugal, which is where I was living at that time. And for me, it was like, wow, this was really mind-blowing because I was in the place that was these people's dream and I did not feel like I liked being there. So that really awakened me to this perception of our dreams and our desires are really, really important and they're really this like guiding force. And even if I was feeling bad about what it was, it didn't mean that everyone in the world ever wants to be living in Bali. So listen to that. And yeah, listening to that, we came back to the island and we were just talking about how the last month has been just a constant regulation of the nervous system to how wildly different my life has become and has been these last 2 months. I've never experienced so much the timeline shifting concept and feeling that into reality. We did some work on our one-to-ones to inner mastery as well on this, and I could feel it physically when it was happening, like that spiraling energy, like I could feel the earth moving around me.
Oh my god, yes.
So intense. I was like, oh my god, I'm so dizzy, my eyes are closed and I can just feel this like rotational force, like I'm in a vortex or something. And then yeah, it's like you do that work and it's so intangible but also so tangible, and then the next day you just start seeing life giving you opportunities to make shifts. And yeah, that shift has been really incredible. Life here is being everything that I desired and more. I have a sense of community. I have this beautiful nature that here is so fertile and ever giving. You know, there's sunshine every day, there's fresh tropical fruit every day. It's just so fun and so free, and it's literally everything that I'm desiring so much. So yeah,
My
listening to your
gosh.
desires is really important.
It really is. And this is, we haven't really talked much since our last sessions when you were, so I think you were still living in Portugal at the
I
time.
was in the UK for
Oh,
April for that the
yes.
last session that we did. I was there for the month. Yeah.
Okay. And I know you were like really looking for home, looking to anchor into something, looking to find that like you can settle, you can build community. And I'm curious, as you talked about the shifts and the timeline jumping, what does that mean? What are the shifts? What was the timeline that you shifted into?
Yeah, so actually, I want to first share the timeline that I was in because it felt so difficult to get out of. And I'd never experienced that. I have always been a very, when I was more in like in the mind and in the rational before I really started exploring these parts of myself, I was always really driven and really this like go-getter person. And I really struggled because I was going through pregnancy and then the first year of postpartum. And I ended up super stuck in this victimhood mode that I just couldn't see a way out of. And I think that's what was really, I felt like it was just destroying my being. It was this inability to see the way out of it and to shift out of it, which was, we had no money. Literally, we were at a point that we were using this kind of like government support for fruit that they do in the UK. And we couldn't afford to pay rent. So we were living in my parents' house. And then I felt like I was in this constant trauma loop. And I wasn't working because I had just had a baby. My husband was supporting me, so he wasn't working much at all. So it was a real period of struggle. And we were very united throughout the whole thing, but it felt really difficult. Like, how the hell do we get out of this now? Because we need to have enough money to pay for rent if we want to get out of my parents' property, but we can't just pay 1 month and go. We need to like have a considerable chunk. So it just felt like there was so much that needed to shift, and it was just impossible. And it was really hard to actually find the money to do things and to say yes to things. And then it was super funny because literally when Inner Mastery dropped into my field, the money for it just appeared. Literally, the moment that I made the decision of like, I need to be in this and I need to be paying in full for this, which again, I'd never done. I feel like that was the first point of things shifting for me. And it just started opening from there. And it's this is the type of stuff that to the rational mind, it would be like, you don't have money to pay for rent and you're about to invest in a
Yeah.
container for self-development, like
Yeah.
that
Let's
you don't even know what it is about.
let's talk about that because I have been in similar situations myself, and it's always a very touchy subject for me as I do DMs with women talking about taking those leaps. And I always say I never want someone to go into like debt or like make a bad investment that they don't agree with. But at the same time, there's that line where like something's got to change. And one of my mentors once told me, you don't find the money, you make the money. You make it happen. And I'm so curious how did you make it happen? And what was that feeling like? What was
Yeah.
the intention?
So actually with that, I think that the one thing is if it was a person that is really in this pattern of like just consuming containers and consuming coaching, and that they are about to go into debt for another container, then I think that's a different subject. It's like, yeah, maybe don't do that. Actually, listening to your higher calling on this might be to not do it. But for me, it was really interesting because I had been doing some, I was still doing some nutrition consultations here and there, so I had a little bit of money saved up. But my husband needed to borrow it at some point, and I didn't even remember what for. And so he just ended up owing me this amount of money, and there was some stuff that he really wanted to be paying for in terms of our bills. So I was like contributing to this. So in the end, he was owing me this money. And I had a story that I didn't know I had this story, but I had a story within me that I've lent him this money. He's never going to give it back. And then actually, I noticed that that was coming from when I was a child, my parents asking to borrow money from me and then never giving it back. And it was finding this story, unraveling that. And once I did, it literally was like the decision happened. And then he got someone signing up to his container the next day and gave me all the money back in one. So on this, it wasn't me being like, right, I'm gonna save here. I'm gonna not do these things that feel really good so that I have the money. It was just a sense of this needs to, and I'm not saying that this is always easy, you know, like to have that
Oh
level of
yeah, no, it's
trust,
not.
it's not easy, you know. Sometimes it's like, how the hell is this possibly going to happen? But yeah, I think sometimes the universe wants you to find a way to find the money, and other times it just drops you in, and
Yeah.
it's also the part of trusting, and also not just trusting, but also taking action when you need to take action.
Right. And I think I see, what I'm hearing in your words is that, like, that intention of utilizing the space, not just, as you're talking about, like, the endless consuming of work versus, like, this is going to take me somewhere. I'm deciding where it's going to take me and deciding, maybe you don't know exactly where it's going to take you, but you knew something needed to change. And so having that intention beside, sorry, that intention with the investment, I think is makes that difference. You say the universe might drop it into your lap, or you have to might have to make it happen. It's like either way, there is that intuitive decision that you're going to make it happen. I think once we agree to that, everything else falls into place.
Yeah, I think so. And this is actually something that I noticed that to with me, it's really clear. And I think some people have this really activated this ability to listening to when something is a calling, like when you are supposed to do it, versus just thinking and not doing it. I don't know if this makes sense. Like when I launched my container last year, there was this woman that really wanted to be in it, but she was just rationalizing all the little details. And in the end, she didn't join. And there were two women that were like, I have no idea what it's about or what even you are teaching. I just feel in my body that I need to be doing this work with you. And I think that there's this nuance as well of being able to tune into your body and yourself so much that you notice those things. And it's funny because coming from the nutrition world, I noticed that most people don't listen even to like hunger cues, tiredness cues. You know, it's like you know you want to go to sleep, but you're just watching Netflix until 1 a.m. Or you know that your body wants food, but you're like, no, I'm gonna fast or I'm gonna push it for later because I want to lose weight or because I don't deserve to eat these things. There's all these underlying stuff that we get conditioned to listen to instead of our body cues. And then I think it's even harder when you're not listening to those biochemical signals to then listen to intuition.
Oh, I agree fully. And, as I've done both of these things. When I invest, there's times where I'm like, I really got to feel it out. Like, 'cause I am an emotional center. I don't know if you, have we talked to human design? Yeah, we have.
Oh, I'm
The I'm
so
an
into human
emotional.
design.
So I have that emotional wave, and I've really had to learn the difference, because almost everything is like a hell yes, I want to do it. Everything. Offer me anything, and I'm like, balls to the wall, yes, let's go. And then I sleep on it 20, 12 to 24 hours later, I have that clarity, which I've learned through shitty investments. I don't want to call them shitty investments, but just things that I'm like, oh yeah, no, that wasn't actually for me. But that's, I have this really big shift where every time I've ever spent that money that I kind of regret later, I look back and I'm like, my ability to trust my intuition is so fine-tuned because of that, and my ability to trust my process of that 12 to 24 hours that I know I need. Luckily, my husband is a sacral
He's a sacral authority. So if we have to decide something quick, I'm like, oh, I'm way too excited. I need you to choose. Tell me if it's a yes or a no. I cannot decide. And so I love having get yourself a sacral authority if you're an emotional authority. Oh,
Gosh, I
and
really
it
love that. I used to be so jealous of that, that some people have that ability to really get this like hum from the body.
yes.
I was like, I'm a self-projected authority. I need to talk about stuff.
Are you a projector?
I'm a
Oh, I
projector.
love that. I can see that. I would love to hear a little bit about your journey as a nutritionist and moving into more like feminine embodiment work, which I believe is that the what you want to call it? Do you have a better way to word it?
Actually, it in the progress of it, I'm calling it embodied energy alchemy because it's very like
Okay.
embodiment based, but we're also really working energetics and it's quite shamanic.
I love that. Embodied energy alchemy. Beautiful. So tell me about the transition. Because I do think, as you just spoke to, nutrition still obviously isn't what you're teaching anymore, but it did lead you to where you're going, as we talk about listening to the body. So I'd love to hear about that. And I obviously, you and I know you weren't new to energy or energy work when you joined this container. So I'm curious to hear about the journey and then possibly how your energy work ha practice has developed.
You know, this actually links perfectly with what we were just talking about because it all started with a bad investment. Bad investment. That literally was the thing shifting the course of it all for me. So I went into nutritional therapy, specifically that like the naturopathic side of things, because I did not want to study from university where it's all going to be very linear. So mine was very much on the naturopathic side that I did my studies. And it all started because I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I had been on the pill for 10 years and got to this point of like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm eating so well, I'm exercising, and I feel better than I've ever felt before. And I went back to the doctors because I had completely lost my periods, had cystic acne popping all over my face when I came off the pill. And I went back to the doctors, and they were like, yeah, you need to go back on the pill or you're going to be infertile. You're never going to get your period back. And I was like, I'm 21. They're telling me that I'm infertile. I'm like, this is a full body no for me. I don't want to go back on the pill. I've been on it for 10 years. And at this point, I just had this inner, it felt like such an inner wave of strength of like, I'm going to do it another way. I'm going to find a way to do this naturally. And at that point, I started really leaning into nutrition. And it's really funny because around that same time, I went to see this Asian lady for acupuncture and acupressure. And that was the first time that I had any kind of sense of the energy world. Because literally on my first session, I just started like seeing all these purple colors like exploding. And I was like, what is going on? And she would
Yes.
touch me, and there were like all these gurglings happening from my body to hers. And I was like, this is cool, but I have no idea what the hell is going on.
She opened the portal.
Literally, you know, and actually, I'm super, super intuitively into TCM and anything to do with like I've recently gotten really into like tea ceremony, and I didn't know, but my style is super like Chinese lineage as well. I have no idea where that comes from, but it's really,
Well,
really cool.
I'm sure you do have an idea. I'm sure we could drop in and we could find it.
It's so cool,
Some
but yeah,
past
so this.
lives.
Yeah, past lives in China, that'd be cool. Like dragons. Dragon current, that's
I've been seeing
it's coming from.
it is the year of the dragon, so. Oh.
But yeah, so then that actually was what led me into nutrition. And then a few years down the line, I've completed my studies. I have an online, fully online clinic. I'm already living in Bali. And I just hated, really hated the part of having to find clients. It was amazing the people that were coming through referrals, but the cycle of like my programs were running over 3 months. So on the third month, being like, Oh my God, I need to market. I need to find clients. And that led me to this sense of being out of alignment because I loved what I was doing. I loved life. You know, I was in Bali already and I still felt like something was off. I didn't feel super fulfilled or like this happiness and joy within myself wasn't quite there. It was very much like, I'm doing the things, I'm getting the endorphins, and then I'm like, oh, something's missing. What is it? So
Oh,
I
yeah.
got to this moment of impasse where I felt I need a mentor. I had worked with mentors before, but it was always on the business front, on like, this is how you create a program, and this is how blah, 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 blah. All the strategic stuff. And I was like, I
Yeah.
need a spiritual mentor, but I also need a business mentor because I need someone to help me find a way that isn't the way I've been doing it to attract the right people for me to help without having to go through this cycle of every third month getting really stressed out around, right, I need to go back onto Instagram and content creation, which I wasn't enjoying that side of things. It was really time consuming for me. I would get really stuck on trying to write the perfect post, the perfect content. And I loved being in delivery of the actual service, but that part was really draining. So yeah, when I talked about the bad investment, this is actually where it came from. I ended up choosing a business mentor mainly because the spiritual mentor that I had been recommended, it was someone that I met in Bali, and she recommended this person. And I went on her page and I could not understand a word of what she was talking about. And that to me was so much like, it's like she's speaking a different language, you know, which I see this a lot in the spiritual world. This,
Yeah.
when you're so much in the lingo that you lose people that are in, you know, in the normal lives. And I,
Yes.
like, it's really funny. There's a thing in my human design that says that I'm a translator. And every time
Oh.
that, like, since I've known my husband, and every time that we've sat in like in plant medicine journeys, I'm the one kind of translating stuff for him from the quantum to the physical. And I feel like
Wow.
I really have this ability to do that, which is for me, it was
Beautiful.
like, why are these people speaking foreign language when they're trying to help, but then it doesn't get through. And yeah, so I went with the business mentor, and that was the bad investment, right? Because I was offered one thing and then the actual content was very different. I mean, I'm going to give you a very simple example. Straight up, I was like, I hate cold DMing people. I do not want to do that. And she was like, no, we don't do that. And then, first lesson in, let's start cold DMing people that we're going to find on these Facebook
Oh no.
groups. And I was like, so I was
Wait, was
going through
this
this
this was
program.
the spiritual mentor that
No,
was
this was
having
the
you?
business mentor.
Oh, okay, of course.
Yeah. So this is the thing.
I
I
was like,
didn't choose the
energetic
spiritual mentor,
no.
right? Right?
Never
I didn't
cold,
choose the
never cold
spiritual
DM.
mentor, but this was like full on spirit working through this person that was just the opposite of a guide for me, but she was guiding me into everything that I did not want to do. And yeah, I was going through this program and like 3 months later, I'm like, I'm feeling more burnt out than I was when I started. I'm feeling more out of alignment than I was when I started. For the first time since I started my practice, I did not have a single client signing up that month. Every month I had clients joining. And on the third month of this container, I was like, now I've had no one. This has never happened to me. And I just feel like it's shifting me off course even more. And then I got this calling to sit with plant
Always.
medicine. And I was like, what? Drugs? I don't do that. It's so funny. I was like, I don't do that. What the hell? Like, and I just could not shake it off. I was like, just mushrooms, mushrooms, mushrooms were in my field. And I was like, this is unreal. I literally even met with a friend that I hadn't seen in ages, and she was telling me about how she had just sat in plant medicine and how she has this contact of like a local Balinese man. And I was like, oh my God, do I even have the contact? I can't escape this. So that was the starting point for me, was this like going at it from the business angle, very into like real world, rational world strategy, trying to make this work, overworking myself, going against my intuition. to the point that I just could not keep going that way. And then literally I get this calling, and it was like I felt at home. The moment that the veil is not there, I was like, whoa, this is who I am. This is who I've been, and I've been under all these layers all this time. What the hell?
Hell
And
yeah. Hell
yeah,
yeah.
it was really powerful because literally on the first ceremony we did, I was so intuitively navigating those worlds as well. And my husband, same thing, he's super shamanic. And we were both just at home in that world and unraveling all these layers of like sexual assault that I had had that I didn't even have access to in my memory, and all the details of it came back, and I was able to process all of this. And then, yeah, there was just so many layers. And then the real journey is integrating it after, because you get this glimpse of like, this is who I am, this is what's possible. And then, yeah, the middle time of that was just getting into this process of becoming that you experience. And we kept ceremonying quite frequently. And this led me up to the point where I got pregnant. And I was like, well, all the tools that I had are now out of the window because I feel like I can't work with plant medicine in pregnancy. And this was what led me to the journey of like, how do I get access to these same things without anything external, just through me? And it was really challenging for me in the beginning because literally I would drop into medicine and I would channel guides, angels, dragons, creature, like even insects. You know, I literally had experiences of having insects coming through in the journey to tell me that something was off in the house. And we found like a mold infiltration through that, which it was not
Oh.
visible at all. And it was just incredible how my ability to channel in those worlds was so potent. But then, yeah, I would be out of it and be like, how do I open that door again? And this actually was one of the most powerful things from Inner Mastery for me, was that learning that it's not something that you can't access. You just have to find your own way to access it. And that was incredible. And actually, it wasn't just through Inner Mastery. For me, it started before, and Inner Mastery really deepened it very quickly for me. And I launched my first container of this work because, so it wasn't all mystical. A lot of it was really raw, really real. I noticed that I had so much body shame around like my belly, my fluids, like all of this was so present. And it's something that I know that a lot of women carry, you know, it's especially around like the belly area, which is literally where we carry life and creation energy flows through that every single month. So many women have this like, no, I need to have a toned belly, I need to have a flat stomach, blah, blah, blah. And we have this almost like a disgust at that body part, and it's so conditioned. Yeah, and I just started noticing all of that, noticing that, and I was really sexually open as well. Like I was very like very kinky, very communicative on my desires and all of this. And it was all fine when it was with my partner, but with myself, it wasn't the same relationship. So just noticing all these layers. And then, yeah, just deconditioning really deeply what was there from things that I had observed from my mom. And it wasn't even stuff that I was taught, you know, I was never told, you should be ashamed if you don't have a flat belly. It was just noticing how my mother would talk to her own body, how my father would talk to my mother about those body parts. And all the women around me of those generations that I would look up to, you know, and yeah, just so much of it was just this deconditioning of things that I had absorbed without ever noticing. I mean, I'm a projector, right? So many open centers as well. It's so easy to just take things on. And I feel like this is actually one of the powers on what I do, is this ability to like pull things on by accident sometimes and then alchemize them and then turn them into medicine and turn them into power. And literally, the month before I got pregnant was the month that I fell in love with my belly so much. And I had stopped working out as intensely throughout the process as well, because before this, I was competing in CrossFit. You know, it's like I did not have fat in my belly to be complaining about. And yeah, it was just this falling in love with my womanhood, my curves, my, you know, like my smells, my everything. It was such a process of falling in love with self, and this, it was so beautiful. And yeah, then learning to transmute that with the being able to listen to my guides. And yeah, when I ran my first container, it was really funny because I created this container called Reborn, which is very much about liberation, deconditioning, and also opening those roots to your shamanism, priestessness, healing abilities, whatever it is, because I really believe that we all have access to it. And the first session that we dropped in, I was like, oh, I'm in. I'm not on any plant medicine. I'm in. What the hell? I've been trying to access this state for so long, and I'm in.
Yes.
Yeah, oh. And it was, I didn't expect that as well. You know, I was like, oh, maybe I was still quite like scared of stepping into it. And I think there's also such a witch's wound around that of like being able to step into this type of work and trust that you're safe. It's so strange. You know, I didn't have that with
it
nutrition.
Is.
Like, we're going. And
oh,
yeah,
it's such an initiation to step in. It doesn't, I have been stepping in and out of the work for 15 years, and I still find myself feeling that, what, call it like that doubt or that like fear of, you kind of like have to move through that wall of safety to step into the deeper states of consciousness. I'm really, really interested to hear about, you were talking about being a projector and taking so many things on and alchemizing them. And I think this is something that's so important for all the women everywhere. It doesn't even matter if you're a projector, but especially projectors, because I know I have a few projector clients who struggle with things like this as well. But that those, I my quote that I always say is, may your blocks become your stepping stones. And this is exactly what I'm talking about, where you realize you're holding on to so many stories, and so many women think that these things are broken, or they're flaws, or they're these wounds that they carry, when in all reality, you're saying, like, you were quite literally alchemizing them into becoming like this most juiciest activated version of yourself. It's been so beautiful to witness. I mean, I know I haven't been here the whole time for the whole journey, but even just seeing the way your content has shifted for the past couple of months, and like there's just this, there is a life moving through you that gets stronger every day. And it's, I call it like the energetic signature on social media. You can go to someone's page and you can feel their signature. It's signed through every single post, through every single story. It's the frequency. And I'm just really honoring yours right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
And you're enjoying making content now?
Yeah.
You were saying you were struggling with it before.
Yeah, it's really funny. I still go through a bit of a, am I being able to say that I have a container? Because I'm having so much fun with this like creation force. And for me, it feels like I'm making art more than I'm making content. You know,
yes.
And I'm like getting
yes.
a clip of something. And sometimes there's like poetry that comes through, or words that don't really make sense. But then I still am able to like share the story that feels really alive. And so I think so much of it is codes as well, you know, like when you are really living these stories and really living these experiences, and then being able to translate it into a way that it's going to activate someone inside of something inside of people. This is something that I've really, really deeply connected to being in Bali. I feel like we all have these like secret buttons alongside our bodies. And when you get a calling to do something, go somewhere, meet someone, it's like you're going for that person to be able to flick that switch on, or that place to flick that switch on. And it's
Oh,
like you
yeah.
follow those callings and something activates. And sometimes it's like the timeline jumping, right? It does not
Yeah.
make sense because it's not subtle and gradual and trying to create a new routine. Sometimes you follow a calling, you go somewhere, and the next day everything's different. And you're like, whoa.
Yes. My husband and I joke that we're just like, we're all playing just this giant video game, and how I don't know if you ever played video games, but I did as a child, and there's a pathway through the game, and there's like all these side quests that you can like stay busy, but there is always a main pathway through the game,
Yep,
and
yep, yep, yep.
there's the checkpoints, and if you can get to the checkpoint and like kind of sometimes playing on the side quests can be fun. You can like gather extra information or rewards, but really like if you want to win the game, you can stay focused and just go to the next checkpoint. Just go straight to the next checkpoint, and that's how I look at life. And also that it's not bad to take side quests and like take a break for some time. You can always come back to the main path, but that opportunity to just like see that next checkpoint, focus in, and you have to keep dropping in to do it though, right? That's what I'm hearing you saying, is the more you dedicate yourself to the journey, the more you follow those cues, like just thinking back to being told you needed to go on the pill. And just saying, like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then, like, boom, you show up with TCM. Boom, you show up, to this nutritionist training. Like, boom, you just keep moving forward when we begin to say yes to our path. Oh, so juicy.
Yeah, and you speak about the holding the line as well. This is the other thing, right? So I got this calling for it to be through the natural world. I then had to go and study for 3 years. It's not something that sometimes it shifts very quickly, and sometimes you really need to trust the long game and go through with it.
Oh yeah, I'm in the ringer. I mean, I'm not on the ringer right now. I was in the ringer for so long on the long game. We've been trying to find our home. I mean, forever. I've always been looking for a home. I've been looking for a home my entire life since I was born on this planet. I've never lived in a home longer than 2 years. I'm 30 years old. 2 years is max. Very often it's like 6 months to a year. And so I've probably moved, well over 30 times at this point. And I feel like the long game for me has been taking the next step, which sometimes involves like, hey, now we're traveling. Now we're living in a camper. Now we're living in now we're living in Hawaii. Now we're living in Mexico. Now we're in a rental here. Now we're in a small house here. Now we're doing a work trade here. That's just kind of how it's been. And we finally got our home that I have been waiting my entire life to have. And I look back at all the times I had to keep moving, and how I just was resisting it. Like, no, I just want the house. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to move into a camper. I don't want to live in a tiny home. I just want my home. I want the land. And I see now that every single time I said yes to the change, to the push, to the jump, to the leap, whatever we want to call it, I got to where I'm at now so much faster. But when I stayed in like just places that weren't working for me because I was too tired to move again, we ended up just staying there longer, and we never got close. We weren't getting closer. So, oh, the long game, holding the line. I think a lot of people think energy work is like, we're gonna drop into a session and boom, 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 align your chakras and you're gonna walk away a different per okay, I mean, to be fair, sometimes that happens.
it does. You know, the last session that we did, I was literally
Yes.
aligning all the areas of my life for my next postpartum. And it's so cool because I've been able to drop into that same thing with my husband. Literally, a couple of weeks ago, we were having tea, and I was like, let's check in. I feel like there are two that jumped out of alignment again. And funny enough, home was one of them. I was like, what's happening here? And it's not just forcing things into alignment as well. It's like, okay, this one came out of alignment. Why? And it's so funny. We noticed that we were really holding on to the rental place that we were in the first month. I was like, how do we create space for the next place if we have this one? I'm like, maybe we could extend this one if we don't find another one. And it was like, no, this place isn't where we want to be. And only when we noticed that both of us had that
Oh.
home little bubble out of the central column and noticed the why and were able to let go of that. Literally the
And the
next
next
day, someone
step.
is like, we
Yep.
have a place.
The next step appears. You
Yeah.
just, you release the story to where you are. You release your attachment to
Oh.
that timeline. And then the next timeline is like, well, thank you. We've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
Oh. So I want to hear a little bit you talking about working with the alignment and all the things out in front of you. You've been working with your business and your offerings as entities, right? And you drop in with them. Will you talk
Yes.
a little bit about channeling some of your
Oh my
offerings and
gosh.
channeling? I'm picturing your red cape.
That changed so much for
Yeah,
me.
tell us what you're comfortable sharing about it.
Yeah, okay. So it's so funny because it actually started with one of your I think it's one of the frequency foundations where you were talking about it was either that or it was in Inner Mastery about business and birth and how you would show up to a newborn baby. And I was like, man, I would show up to my newborn baby with so much devotion and responding to their needs. Why am I not showing up to my business like this? Why am I trying to force something into this linear structure of how it should be? And it was just that started, like that activated one of the switches inside of me. And then, yeah, like when we did that session where I called my business entity in front of me. And I was scared of her. She really intimidated me. And it's funny because I had just redecorated my bedroom and I had painted the walls in this like cream and a big terracotta wall. And the colors were all very, very like boohoo, very earthy. And I really loved those tones. And that's how I dressed the entire time that I was in Europe. It was very like, very earthy tones, very like. So it was super funny because when I found your page, I was like, she has all my colors. Is this room? Was so funny, like that sage green and this kind of brown, like clay
Yeah.
colors. I was like, wow, I found a
Soul
match to be my man.
fractals.
It was hilarious. And then I see my business entity and I'm like, whoa, she's dark. She's this, like, looks like the dark sky of the night, this midnight blue, and it's powerful and it's scary. And it's super mystical. And I'm over here trying to talk rational. And it
And
was really.
she's still so earthy, by the way, just looking at
Yeah.
your social media page. Like your it's like it's dark
It's like
feminine though. It's like,
forests.
yes,
You know
she's
what's
it's the
super
dark.
funny? I'm gonna show you this. I literally got gifted this. Like after our call, I got gifted this Oracle deck that is literally this, like, dark forest with golden
Dark
letters with
forest,
the exact
yes.
same little details that I chose to use for to represent her. I was
Of
like,
course.
okay. Yeah, I
Oh.
love it because it's a very different flavor. It's not soft. And I was like, okay, these awakenings that I was going through and the things that I had the courage to share at that time that were really landing with people. I remember like one of the posts that I made throughout the time of like a lot of ceremonies, a lot of awakenings was I had just self-pleasured with this wand that I got. And I was talking about how I used to feel disgust at my feminine juices. And it really landed with people of like this thing that you get taught as a girl to like hide your panties, like not have, there's bloody panty liners for daily use so that you don't have any residue. I'm like, what on earth? Nowadays I don't wear panties most of the days. It's like such a journey of freedom. But yeah, but a lot of it is dark feminine. And it's so funny because the first time that I got a calling to step into like a women's container, I cried when I saw the flyer for it. And I was like, I have no idea what this is about, but I'm super emotional right now. I need to be in this thing. And it was an embodiment container that I had no idea what that word even meant. And literally, just the moment that I get permission to move as myself, I'm like, I'm not soft. I'm not delicate. I'm like on the floor. I'm super like in my primal body, super sensual. And it's very dark feminine. It's very like, I know my boundaries. I know my like safety. And yeah, I think that surprised even me. I wasn't, I was like used to being strong in the body from a sense of like fitness and like this, I don't need anybody type of energy. And it was a very, how sensual can I be and still feel safe? How sexual can I be and still feel safe? So yeah, that's my business entity has been. It's really funny. I don't feel like calling my business a business anymore. It's like it's a
Yeah.
service. I'm like I'm showing up to serve. And that also I'm working with her in the sense of like show me.
Yeah.
Like the colors to me, it was the first time that I didn't feel like giving my power to someone and be like, can you create my branding, please? What colors should I use? What
Right.
fonts should I use? What should my logo be? I'm like, I'm just tapping into her and being like, it
You're
is.
just
This is,
receiving her. You're just
yeah.
receiving. And this is the beautiful thing about these heart-led businesses is there's, I mean, we have to do our own inner work, but like when you have the heart-led business, it's actually so easy. You show up into the quantum realm and you call her forward and you're like, oh, I can see your colors. I can see your frequency. I can see how you make women feel. I can see how you make me feel. It's the energetic signature of her. And the way that you called her forward, I remember that fear. I remember the fear so strong of like, yeah, like she's a little
Intense.
terrifying, but also like she's intense. And also, I know you weren't really doing nutrition at the time, but it's just like, don't you see why what you were doing like wasn't working? Because what you have to offer isn't this like super basic nutrition, even like holistic nutrition, right? It is this intensity, this darkness that is here for the world. You called it your service. I call her like my medicine. My offerings are my medicine that I'm offering. And a lot of times I work with my business, the Primal Priestess. She's an archetype. She is an
I love
archetype
that.
of woman. She's not me. She's not mine. She is just the archetype of, I mean, you can think of it. Who is the primal priestess? What does she move like? What does she dress like? What is her medicine for the world? And can I just be, if I can just tap in with her and ask her, what is your medicine? I mean, I could sit and write content for weeks. It just becomes, as you said, content becomes this art that just moves through you. And I just wish, I want to shout it from the rooftops every time I see a woman starting a business or struggling in her business. Like, have you tried channeling? I promise it's easy. It's all the inner work of like not believing in yourself and not trusting yourself and doubting it and not showing up to channel for her. That's where it gets tricky, right? When we get into logic. Oof.
Hannah, I actually would love to open that you just said around the word
Yeah.
channeling. Because I
Yes.
don't know if you saw my last post. I grew up with my great grandma. She was a channel for people that had passed. That literally was what she did. So I
Yeah.
grew up with this idea that channeling was something that some people have the ability to do, but not all.
Yeah.
And that it's the channeling concept to me was like channeling spirits, channeling entities. And like I was saying in the beginning, when I then started dropping into plant medicine, I was channeling. Like I also was
Yes.
channeling my higher self the whole time, telling me what to do, showing me the next steps. But I also was channeling a lot that was outside of me, that was like entities, deities, being like animals. So
Right.
I actually would like to just clarify that maybe for the people
Yeah,
listening that
of course.
this channeling doesn't have to be like this channeling things that are outside of you. It also can be just almost like an amplification of your intuition that you
Right.
open and that you listen to. I mean, I don't know if that is your the way that you
Yeah.
view it.
I think, this is why what you're saying right now is exactly why I teach inner mastery, because, as you know, in inner mastery, we're not really going off and
We're not doing any of
channeling.
that. Yeah,
We're not doing
exactly.
any of that. And it's really because that is very possible. And I think everyone is capable of channeling anything they want to channel, truly. But if we don't have inner clarity, if we don't understand our roadmaps and like what a full, what a safe, what safety feels like, if we don't create safety in our bodies, we're going to start channeling things that are very distorted and very confusing. And so, I'd love to create like a secondary course that's like after Inner Mastery. That's like, okay, now we're going to go. We're really going to go to that, module 5, module 6, higher realms. Like, we're going to go there. But we really have to master the inner world and have kind of decode, like, okay, because a lot of us have codes that it's not safe to be in our bodies, that our intuition is wrong, that it's dangerous to take up space. We've got these programs running. And once we can clear those and come into a very clear channel, then we can be precise. There's, oftentimes where I'll drop in to channel something outside of myself, whether it's a guide, an entity, and immediately I can trust my body reaction, whether I want to channel this or whether I don't. And I can trust whether this is something that's for me or whether this is something that is like seeking to drain me. And I think in the spiritual world, I see so many people just jump into channeling without
Yes,
having
yes, yes.
the inner roadmap. It can be very spiritually damaging and dangerous.
Yeah,
So
inner
that's my
mastery really was such
clarification
a
for
gift.
channel.
Yeah. That's exactly why I wanted to have that, because past me could have listened to the word channeling and be like, oh, someone is channeling Christ consciousness, for example, not like this is not what we were doing. We were literally just, it's like you are connecting to this wisdom that is available to you through your body, through your being, without needing to be like, what else is out there floating in the other realms that I can put. And this is hilarious for me, being in Bali. I have such an itch so many of the events going on here. I'm like, I went to some that I was like, okay, let me just really shield my entire existence of this room. I don't want to open anything right now because this feels so yucky. And it's that, like, when people are not used to going into their bodies, their safety, their what's them and what's not. And you were talking about earlier with also with the alchemizing, with the open centers from the human design. If you don't have that discernment of what's you, what's not, what's safe, what's not, people that are just pulling through on, like you were saying, things that drain you and are then amplifying that energy in these spaces. It's, yeah, inner mastery was such a gift on simplifying, going back to the foundations. And I tell you what, I was so like, oh, I just want to move out of this first week, get into the juiciness of it. And honestly, it's been one of the most potent practices. I was already so good at witnessing and that being forced to not move into the release, into the clearing, into the alchemy. Oh, it was so good and
It's the
so
constant
challenging as
review.
well.
Everyone hates module one until they're out of module one, and then they think, oh my gosh, I want to go back. It's easier. But and I my human design, I'm almost fully closed. So this concept of protecting and knowing my inner world has this is I think probably why I'm self-initiated into energy work is because I'm very, very closed up. I only have two open centers. And so yeah, a lot of internal clarity and going into those spaces where we are, susceptible to other beings' energies, in those like plant medicine, like I will never do like a group plant medicine journey. Like that is not for me. Just because there's so much alive and people don't even know what they're taking in. And then we end up holding on to things that aren't ours. And yeah, really coming back to the foundations and the basics, I've had so many clients and sessions prior to creating Inner Mastery who want me to just drop in and clear and pull and heal. And I can. But it doesn't feel integrity for me as someone who knows how to do it, because I think, you need to learn how to do this. I had multiple months where I was doing sessions with multiple women. They would come back again and again. We'd clear the same thing over and over again. And I'm thinking, why don't I just teach you how to do this for yourself? Can I just teach you that you have an inner world that you can access? As we talk about channeling things within, I really want to bring up, I was saying the primal priestess is like an archetype, but she's an archetype within me, right? And we can call forth any archetype in it within us, and we can pull her out in front of us to look at her and to get engage with her. And I think this is such a great way to play with these different energies, whether it is your business or, as we talk about the mirrors, like, okay, like let's call forth the seductress, the sacred slut. Let's call forth the mother. Let's call forth the maiden. Let's call forth the crone. And so you can call forth these timeline versions of yourself to guide you if you want to embody more of that. And I recommend getting those pathways really, really secured and understood. It's almost like you have a map and you want to memorize the internal map before you go out into the outer world, because once you're out there, I mean, I've been working, I just got back from a week-long pilgrimage on Maui, and I'm like realizing, oh my gosh, I'm so good at navigating my inner world, but navigating the outer realms is like, I'm like, what am I doing out here? Where am I going? Why am I here? I'm like, is the primal priestess here with me? Because I'm really comfortable with her, but now I'm seeing green aliens and Merlin consciousness, and Mary and Jesus are here, and I'm like, and it's like I don't even know what we're doing here, right? But we have, luckily I was guided during that journey, so I had so much anchoring me. But I think we learn how to anchor in the outer world by really creating the pathways in the inner world.
It's so funny. My journey was almost the opposite. It's like I had all these, I wasn't trying to open any of it, But actually, the first few months of ceremonies, and I'm totally with you on that. I do not do group stuff. It's like me and my husband, or solo with one of us holding the other, is the way that I've always journeyed. And I don't intend to be doing group stuff because it's like I have open centers and I am opening, and all these people are as well, but I know how to shield. Do they know how to shield? Are they going to be projecting stuff? Yeah, it's a space where you really need to feel safe as well. But it's funny, my first few months were deconditioning, inner child work, traumas that I didn't remember having and that wanted to be witnessed. And then after that, it was like I started having those consciousnesses and entities just appearing to me. And honestly, in the beginning, you were saying you had someone guiding you. I was like, am I just losing my mind right now? Am I seriously just losing my mind? Why am I seeing Mary? Like, I don't believe in this. I'm not religious. What
Right?
on
When I saw a church, I was like, no, I don't want it.
earth?
I don't want it. Get me out of the church. What are we doing here?
And isn't it so beautiful that you can get to a point of being able to navigate all those things also without the attachments of like religion and the things that you have
Yes.
pre-learned
Oh,
about it?
yes.
Like in Portugal, there's a site called Fatima. It's a town, and it's a place where Mary appeared to three little shepherds. It's a place of pilgrimage, and I went there in January, and it was so beautiful. And oh my God, it's such a beautiful place. And to be able to go there, having been someone who my family was super religious and I rejected all of that, I was like, not for me. And I remember everyone being like,
Same.
what do you mean? If you don't do this, you won't be able to get married in the church. And I was like, I don't even want to get married. I'm so happily married right now. And I got married in a
Yes.
red dress, not in the church. It was amazing. And now being able to, like, I've learned to pray the rosary this year, and it's one of my absolute favorite practices.
Wow.
And it's like, I bought my rosary in Fatima, which is this place. It's made from crushed rose petals. It's beautiful.
Oh
It smells
my God.
incredible. And I'm not feeling any desire to lean into religion. It's just, it feels so pure and so like it's inside my heart. I don't need to be having others telling me how to do it. It's like you just feel it. It's a frequency as well that you can open to, and yeah, it's beautiful. But I do think that you have to have that sense of self so that you don't feel the need to have others telling you how.
Right. And so, you know, I think, you know, so many women can access these realms, yet how many women can actually utilize them in their tangible day-to-day life? Like, I know women who will go blast off into multidimensional like planes and have cosmic experiences, but then they come back and they're like struggling with their business, they're struggling with money, they're struggling with mothering, they're struggling in their marriage. And I really see, I'm like, okay, can we bridge some of this? Like, you're able to do so much, and it gets a little addicting to live in the spirit world when you can access that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, we didn't come here on earth. We didn't come here to be human to just play in the spirit realm all day. Like, we came here to take, to add. That's just a, that's a pathway. You know, we get to actually birth what we've learned there onto earth. And that's what I think I've seen you do a lot with your business. So, and congratulations on that. And just, yeah, celebrating you finding your home and finding this place that you've been longing to get to for so long.
Yeah, I'm excited. And just so that you understand how manifestation just works at the speed of light in Bali, I literally went to this shop that was calling to me. I'd never seen it, and it was just really calling to me. And they had this face spray, and it's like rose and mulberry. It's the most divine thing. And I was like, I'm not going to buy this until I have my next house, because I want to envision putting it there in this specific space. 2 days later, we found our house, and it has so many statues inside of it and all the like trees. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. So many flowers. It has this big Ganesha statue. And yeah, I went and bought the face spray yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I think we're going to be about time for today. But I think before we end, I really want to honor your ability to leap and follow your cues and your intuition so quickly. And I'm sure you'll say, like, you have some doubt and some worry, but from just all the story you told me today, it was just, yeah, following the breadcrumbs. And I am curious if you have any advice for women who are struggling with those leaps, maybe women who see the opportunity or they feel the pull, right? The pull to get off birth control, or the pull to drop out of their current career path. You know, what would you tell those women on how you've been able to successfully learn to leap?
If something isn't leaving your path, if something isn't leaving your mind, your field, listen to that. It tends to be quite persistent. It's not something that just appears once and disappears. And also, when there are patterns that just repeat in your lives, there's something there asking for you to notice it so that you can shift that exact pattern. So yeah, I think it can be really subtle, it can be really big, you know. Like, I went through a period where every month I felt the urge of breaking up with my partner just before my period. And it's like, that relationship wasn't aligned with me, and I knew it, and I just didn't really want to see it. And then around that time of just the pre-bleed, my body was shouting at me. And, you know, it was after I broke up from that relationship, literally 2 months later, I met my husband. So if things are coming up again and again, just listen to that.
Thank you. Well, if the people listening want to find you or work with you or have any questions, how can they reach you?
So I'm on Instagram at Mariana_Parkhouse. That's Mariana with one N. And okay. I am about to launch Reborn. It's definitely gone through an evolution. The first one was subtle and soft. This one is gonna get deeper. It's more of an underworld journey through
Can you?
mysticism, sensuality, liberation.
Okay, can you tell us, is it a course? Is it a one-on-one?
It's a group container. I think there's a lot
Okay.
of power in being witnessed in the things that you are so stuck and shameful on, and noticing that you're not the only one and that you're not alone in that journey. So I find that actually it happens faster and you embody it at a deeper
Right.
level when you are seen in it. So it's a group journey, it's an 8-week container, and yeah, it will be online. I'm probably also going to run it in Bali because it feels really fun to do
Ooh.
like in-person ceremony, but definitely there will be an online version because I love also merging in the same space people from different backgrounds and different cultures, just so that we all get the gift of noticing how the stories can be so different and also have so much in common.
Okay, beautiful. Well, I'll share all of that in the show notes. And once again, thank you so much for chatting today. This has been so fun. I could probably talk to you about channeling and business and money and dark feminine for hours.
Thank you for
Great.
inviting me, and thank you for making it so that it was so early in the day for me that I got to see the sunrise and went for a beach walk when there was
Oh.
no one there.
You're welcome.
That's today's episode. Thank you for listening. Once again, if you want to connect with Mariana or any of her lovely offerings, you can find her at Mariana underscore Parkhouse on Instagram. If you want to join me for Inner Mastery, we begin on June 23rd, 2024 for round 3. It's 12 weeks of counsel, community, and education on exploring your inner world, channeling, somatic work, shadow expansion, and more. Until next time.